Okay, so I will read from the 17th verse onwards to this verse. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers, led by chiefs like Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. When cities' crossroads, platforms, flags, and golden waterpots on its domes were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumbha, Kumbha, Drumaksha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his own son, Indrajit. Thereafter, he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. Text number 19. Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshmana and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gangamada, Nila, Angada, Jambavan, and Panasa, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prasas, rishtis, shakti eras, kangas, kandgas, and tomaras. And the 20th verse. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed all Ravana's soldiers who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The soldiers of Lord Ramachandra, recruited in the jungle, were all monkeys and did not have proper equipment with which to fight the soldiers of Ravana. For Ravana's soldiers were equipped with weapons of modern warfare, whereas the monkeys could only throw stones, mountain peaks, and trees. It was only Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana who shot some arrows. But because the soldiers of Ravana were condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, the monkeys were able to kill them simply by throwing stones and trees. There are two kinds of strength, Daiva and Purushakara. Daiva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence, and Purushakara refers to the strengths organized by one's own intelligence and power. Transcendental power is always superior to the power of the materialist. Depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one must fight one's enemies, even though one may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore, Krishna instructed Arjuna, Mamanusmaram yudya cha, think of me and fight. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability, but for victory we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, I will read again the verse and the translation. Teni kapara gupatera yipatya sarve dvandvam varuttami hapati ratasva yodhai jagnur drumayar giri gadeshubir angadadyah. Sita Bimarsha Hatamangala Ravanesham. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers who had all lost good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Goravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Satarini. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyo Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Ajanalambita Bhujokana Kavadatu Sankirtanai Kapitaru Kamanai Taksu Vishwambaru Dvijavaru Gudharma Palu Vandei Jagat Priya Karu Karunavataru Intah Pravishya Mamavachim Vam Prasuptum Sanjeevaya Takila Shakti Daraksvadamna Anyam Shahasta Charana Shravanat Vagadim Pranannamu Bhagavate Purushaya Tupyam. Hare Krishna. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada very beautifully confronts two powers which we have to employ and have to take into consideration when we plan our action. The tendency, very sad tendency in a human society is that we try to go into one extreme against the other. Whereas the reality or the truth lays in the middle. Srila Prabhupada explains very beautifully that there is a Purushakar. Purushakar means one's own strengths, one's own intelligence. And there is Daiva, or the transcendental power. And again, as I said, the usual tendency in a human being is either rely completely, entirely on the transcendental power of the Lord, which would imply for our faulty intelligence that we will not do anything, let Lord do whatever he likes. And sometimes we mistakenly think that this is bhakti. In reality, this is not bhakti. Bhakti is exactly what Srila Prabhupada says, and exactly according to the formula given by Krishna himself, Mama Nusmara Yudhyacha, remember about me and fight yourself. But when we quote-unquote become, completely surrendered souls and rely entirely on the power of the transcendence, the power of Krishna, it's actually not bhakti, it's mayavad. It's actually gyan. It's the tendency of gyan when we are justifying our laziness by transcendental pretexts and reasons. I'm totally surrendered unto the Lord. Of course, there is a second tendency which is very prominent in the outside world and in the society in general, and sometimes we fall into this extreme. Everything depends on me. I am the actor, and this is Purushakar. Here in these verses, Srila Prabhupada takes this opportunity to explain to us again the need of synthesizing these two attitudes, which is extremely important. And ultimately the underlying reason is that when we fall into one of these extremes, we deprive ourselves the possibility of having bhakti. We completely deprive ourselves the concept of service, or we try to somehow or other substitute the concept of service by the faulty concepts of karma or jnana, thinking that we are doing service. So the point of this beautiful purport and the whole section which is dealing with the victory of monkeys is that we always have to take into consideration these two powers and rely on the power of the Lord, understanding that ultimately the power of the Lord rules supreme, but at the same time employ our own power and try to connect our own power with the power of supreme, which is in reality bhakti. Bhakti is this attempt, sincere attempt, to connect our power and to always feel this connection, to always remember about this connection, that we are completely dependent in our power with the Lord, but at the same time use our intelligence. There are many stories in the scriptures which supposedly justify the first attitude when we completely rely on the power of the Lord. Ultimately, His power is the supreme power, and Srila Prabhupada says this, and he basically comments on two words from this verse, Sita Amarsha, because of this, the last line of this verse, that the monkey soldiers were victorious, even though from the material considerations they had such an inferior power. From the material considerations, there was no hope for victory. Absolutely no hope. But because the superior power was in their favor, ultimately they killed all the much better equipped soldiers of Ravana. It's interesting that, when we try to apply this concept to our movement, we usually tend to say that, ultimately everything depends on the Lord. And even Prabhupada kind of said that ultimately this movement is entirely dependent on the power of the Lord. There is a beautiful story when Prabhupada arrived to one temple, and for a couple of days and a couple of nights all the devotees were having a complete marathon, and they were cleaning and doing all kinds of arrangements to receive Srila Prabhupada properly. So because they didn't have sleep for two nights, when Prabhupada sat down to give Srimad Bhagavatam class, the whole packed auditorium was soundly asleep, and Prabhupada was completely absorbed in his speech, so he didn't notice it. The story is beautifully described by Badrinarayan Prabhu, who said, "I was a part of it, the devotees from all over the place packed into this room, and everyone, 100% of them, were all sleeping while Prabhupada was giving class." And he said, "I poked my nose into the temple room because I was doing something in the kitchen, and I had some opportune moment and I wanted to see what's going on. So I saw everyone is sleeping and Prabhupada is sitting with his eyes closed and he's preaching Bhagavata philosophy." And ultimately he said that, that ultimately, we should depend on the mercy of Krishna. And this whole movement is running only on the mercy of Krishna. And when he said this, he opened his eyes and he looked through his, through his glasses, and he saw that everyone is sleeping. And then he said, "This is a fact." This whole movement is running on the mercy of Krishna. This is a fact. There is no material reasons behind whatever little successes we have or whatever. In one sense, Prabhupada had to, had to recognize the fact that our only hope is to depend on the mercy of Krishna. But of course, Prabhupada never was, you know, the advocate of this faulty conception that depending on the mercy of Krishna would mean that we will do nothing waiting for the mercy of Krishna when it just descends on us. You know, in one lecture Prabhupada said that he was explaining this verse, Sarva Dharma Parityajaya, and he said, Krishna said to Arjuna, Sarva Dharma Parityajaya, just give up all kinds of religions and just surrender unto me. But then Prabhupada said, but it doesn't mean that Arjuna should sit on the chariot and smoke ganja. Because from the very beginning, and that's very interesting, from the very beginning Krishna warned Arjuna, I will be on your side, but I will not fight. Fight you will have to do. I will be with you. I will support you. I will be through and through. I will be 24 hours with you. I will guide you, but I will not fight. Fight you will have to do. You know, we know the story, and it's interesting because in this story, basically, Krishna was testing Arjuna. We know the story that before the battle of Kurukshetra, both Duryodhana and Arjuna, Yudhishthira, they were trying to solicit the support of different kings of the world. And practically simultaneously, when it was ultimately clear that the war will take place, the first one to whom they wanted to get the support of was Krishna. So practically simultaneously from Hastinapur, Duryodhana went to Dwarka, and at the same time from Upaplavya, Arjuna yoked his horses and went to Dwarka at the same time. And when Arjuna arrived to Dwarka, to the palace of Krishna, he saw that the guards of the palace making a royal reception to Duryodhana. Duryodhana was the first one to arrive to the palace of Krishna. And we know the story that when Duryodhana arrived, Krishna was asleep, or he was pretending that he is sleeping. And Duryodhana, he immediately, sat at the head of Krishna. And Arjuna humbly took his place at his feet. And actually, it is said in Mahabharata specifically that Arjuna and Duryodhana, they embraced each other when they saw each other. That's the Vedic culture, you know. They're enemies. They're about to fight. They're soliciting the support of different kings to fight against each other, to gain victory. But at the same time, when it comes to their personal dealings, they're very cordial to each other. Anyway, they sat down near Krishna's bed. And when Krishna opened his eyes, he saw first Arjuna. He said, "Oh, Arjuna, I'm very happy to see you. What brought you here?" And Duryodhana, he started, you know, coughing. "I'm also here." And then, Duryodhana said, "I came here to solicit your support. I want you to support me because we are related. You are my relative, and you have to, you know, because Duryodhana's son Krishna's son was married to Duryodhana's daughter. Anyway, they were relatives, and Duryodhana said, I count on your support." And Arjuna said, "Yes, I count on your support too. We are cousin brothers." And Krishna was equally related to both of them. Krishna said, "Yes, I know I have to support. And I will support both of you. But you will have to choose. To one of you I will give you my huge army. There's a very good commander of chief, Kritavarma. and Vanakshuhini army will be fighting for you, for your sake. And there's another one, I will be myself personally, but I will not fight. In fact, I will not even touch the weapons. This is my vow. And he said, Arjuna, please choose what you want. Duryodhana was very disturbed. He said, I came first. My choice is the first. I have to choose myself first. You know, it's not fair. He said, yeah, Duryodhana, you're right. You were the first, but Arjuna is younger and we have to, Arjuna is younger. We have to give him the choice. And Arjuna, without even thinking twice, he said, I'm choosing you, Krishna. And Duryodhana, he said, Duryodhana was so happy about this. He said, such a stupid he didn't say this, he thought this, but then he made a show that he's a little sad, and he said, okay, what can I do? I have to take the army. I have no choice. But inside himself, he was so happy. He said, such a stupid decision, Why is he taking Krishna? Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Garnita ki jai. So Duryodhana left immediately. He was very happy, and he was little, maybe Krishna will change his mind or something like this. So he better, I better leave. He went to Balaram to solicit his support. And Arjuna was left alone with Krishna. And at that time, Krishna asked Arjuna, why did you make this stupid decision? I was favoring you. I wanted you to make the first choice. Why did you make this stupid decision? I told you I'm not going to fight. And at that time, Arjuna gave a very beautiful answer, because he knew that Krishna is testing him. And Arjuna gave a very beautiful answer. He said, fighting I can do myself. You don't have to fight, my dear Lord. What I need to make sure that I am on your side. Not you are in my side. I am on your side. This is what I need. To fight, I have to be sure that I'm fighting the right cause. And for that, I need to know that I am on the side of Krishna, not on the side of enemies of Krishna. So that was a beautiful answer which Arjuna gave in this severe test which Krishna gave to him. And basically, again, the same idea is illustrated here. Fighting I can do myself. And I will have to do, and I know that I have to do fighting. Krishna, again, Krishna says to all of us, not to Arjuna only, to all of us, you become my devotee, fine, that you have to do, but you will have to fight. Because oftentimes we think that, I became Krishna's devotee, why Krishna is not doing his job properly? Why is he not doing what he's supposed to do? I'm doing my part of it. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, and even Hare Hare. I'm doing whatever I'm supposed to do. But why Krishna is not doing what he's supposed to do? He has to make me successful, right? He has to make sure that I'm successful in all my endeavors. Forget it. Krishna will make sure that you are a failure in all your endeavors unless you surrender completely. Again and again, he will test us and see how determined we are to fight ourselves. And how determined we are to, how properly we are understanding the whole philosophy. Because again, bhakti is something really rare in this world. It actually doesn't exist in this world. It's not from this world. And the normal tendencies which we can understand is either jnana or karma, either total renunciation or complete dependence on our limited powers. So where to find this, you know, middle path? It's actually very difficult. It's almost like there are four schools of Buddhism, four main schools of Buddhism, and one is called Kshanikavad. Kshanikavad, it's a very interesting, very strange philosophy, but very interesting philosophy. So Kshanikavad means that they are stressing that everything is Kshanika, means everything is temporary in this world. There is this temporary reality which consists of this little tiny pieces of time, but in between the pieces of time there is a gap, very small gap of shunya, and the purpose of the real Buddhist is while traveling from one moment of time to another moment of time, somehow or other to sneak into this gap and become shunya, you know, somehow or other to find this gap between the two moments of time and enter into this shunya and understand the reality by, you know, becoming shunya. So in a sense, bhakti is something like this, because we have two very real very real possibilities which we know very well. One is karma. I'm doing it myself. I depend on my own power. I'm the doer. I have to depend on myself completely. And then there is the second alternative. Yeah, nothing depends on me, you know, everything is depending, you know, it's just, yeah, I'm nobody, and what is the use of doing anything? Let me smoke ganja and be happy. You know, and both possibilities are real. Both possibilities have a confirmation of our intelligence of our experience in this world, but bhakti is something which is really completely, totally irrational. Doesn't have any rational, you know, how is it possible to work in this world, to fight, to really, work hard, endeavor, and at the same time, you know, I don't care about the fruits of this world. This is crazy. If you don't care, why do you work? If you work, why you don't care? How is that possible? It's absolutely, it's not a very, you know, reasonable alternative which we have, and still we have to realize this, and it's almost like, you know, this futile endeavor of Buddhists to sneak into this, you know, gap in between. But it's actually what we have to learn, and how to do this without depending, without being dependent, without going into one extreme, from one extreme into another extreme. How to do this? Because if we understand this, we understand what service means. Before we understand this alternative, whatever we do is not service. It's not really service, because service means that I'm doing it, and I find satisfaction in the very fact that I'm doing this. Service means that I'm doing this for the sake of doing this, for the sake of pleasing Krishna, for the sake, not for my own sake. And if Krishna wants me to fail, if Krishna, by one reason or another, will be enjoying my failure in his service, that will be the most glorious victory in my service, my failure. So, and that's extremely difficult to accept. You know, Krishna, I'm doing this for you. Why are you not giving me victory? Is Sanjay liar? Sanjay said, you know, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanurdharaha, Tatra Shrir Vijayo Bhutir, Dhruva Niti Matir Mama. He said, there will be victory. But why are you not giving me victory? Why am I going from one failure to another failure to another failure? And of course, the life of Srila Prabhupada is the most beautiful example of such an attitude. When he had one failure after another failure, without any hope. And the whole thing is very, actually, in a very beautiful way, is explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Why we have to be very clear why Krishna gives us so many failures in the course of devotional service. Why it's inevitable. Of course, one simple answer of this is that this is the way of material world. In the material world there will always be some failures. Nobody is always successful, and you know. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving much more beautiful answer why Krishna is so mercifully and so generously awards our endeavors with failure. Of course, here we see that the monkeys, they were victorious, and the ultimate victory is guaranteed. There is no doubt about it. The ultimate victory is guaranteed to a devotee. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was also, you know, he had a difficult life. And especially it was difficult for him somehow or other even to come to Navadvip, to Mayapur. For so many years, he was trying to come to Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. Year after year after year, he was trying, and it just didn't work. Ultimately, he filed an application. He wanted him to be transferred to Navadvip to do the service of judge there, but it didn't work. He wanted to resign, and then when everything was arranged, when everything was ready, he was ready to come to Navadvip. His life, you know, desire was about to fulfill. He fell sick, and he was sick for 40 days. He was almost dead. He was fasting for 40 days. He was only drinking little milk for 40 days. He couldn't move. You know, at the end of this severe disease, which was the last obstacle before he came to Mayapur, he wrote in his diary, "Something nice will come out because there are so many obstacles. For sure, something nice will come out of all these endeavors. The fruit will be good." And in one of his bhajans, he explains this. He says, "I take the obstacles in the service of yours, O my Lord, as the nectar, as the obstacles in your service is the most valuable treasure of my life. If I have anything valuable in my life, this is the obstacle which I have to undergo in the service of yours." And he writes also there that because by encountering obstacles in your service, I will be, you know, you will help me to get rid of my karmic, my desire to lord it over this material nature. And that's a very, I mean, that's a very deep answer to the question, because sometimes we do ask ourselves, why there is not much success? But the failures must be there, and the failures becomes the real pillars of our success if we don't consider them as failures. When we consider the failures in the course of the service as our real victory. And if we endeavor in our desire to please Krishna and Srila Prabhupada despite of all the failures, if we are not dependent on victory and success, if we are only dependent on the pleasure of the Lord in our service to the Lord, then ultimately the victory will be there. There is no doubt about it. Yes, we are totally unqualified, like these monkey soldiers of Lord Ramachandra. In fact, I would say that we are much less qualified than the monkey soldiers of Lord Ramachandra, because at least they can throw the big mountain peaks and the big trees into the enemies. We can hardly lift the pebble, not the mountain peak. And we are fighting against this, you know, totally, completely, very well equipped material nature and material way of civilization. The whole civilization, the whole material world with all these weapons is actually fighting against us. I'm from Russia. I'm sorry for such a militant class, because you have to be a little militant being in Russia, otherwise you will not be able to survive there. Anyway, so, but it's a fact. That, you know, you may not feel it so acutely. I'm definitely feeling it very acutely in Russia. You know, the whole material civilization is very much against us. We will definitely meet failure after failure after failure in this totally, completely unfair battle for Krishna consciousness. If we fight against hope, you know, if we still have the hope against hope, if we still fight for Krishna, this is the victory. And Prabhupada is the best illustration of this. You know, when somebody asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, why did you go to America? Prabhupada said, my godbrothers went to England and they failed. And some other of my godbrothers went to Germany and they failed. I thought, let me go to America. If I fail, at least I fail in a different way than in some other country. He was well prepared to the failure, and you know, for so many years the failure was his constant companion, but at the same time he actually he knew the secret, and the secret is that if we endeavor totally depending on Krishna's divine power, and at the same time we are fighting ourselves tooth and nail, you know, we're fighting like anything. Mama Nusmara Yudhya Cha. If we always remember about Krishna and at the same time fight for his cause, that the ultimate victory will be there. And I will tell you a little story and end my class on this little story because the time is over. It's a beautiful story which I like very much. It's in the book of Your Ever Well Wish, The Friend of All by Mula Prakriti, where she interviewed different people who knew Srila Prabhupada before he became the founder of Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So it's a story from the time when Srila Prabhupada was living in Keshavji Gaudiya Math in Mathura. And he was not a sannyasi at that time. I think he was not a sannyasi. He was a vanaprastha. He took vanaprastha and he took shelter of his godbrother Keshav Maharaj, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj. And he was preaching, going to some engagement, living in the mat. And once he came very late from his program, and all the devotees, brahmacharis, inmates of the mat already finished their prasadam, and he was with one other brahmachari. So they were sitting there, and there was, as usually in the temple room, there was some, you know, buckets with cold sabji and cold rice and maybe a couple of chapatis. And Prabhupada was sitting there and eating cold rice and cold chapatis and cold sabji with this brahmachari. And at that time, and there was a family of nicely dressed Indians who visited the temple. And they, you know, they poked their nose in the... They looked in the temple room and they saw just some strange, insignificant people, and they didn't show any interest, and they went somewhere else, looking for somebody of some, you know, statue. So, and Prabhupada, when he saw this scene, when this family of nicely dressed Indian people, you know, looked at, and you know, practically didn't even notice them. Prabhupada started chuckling. He was chuckling and chuckling and chuckling. And then ultimately then he said to his companion, this brahmachari with whom he was eating cold rice and chapati, he said, "This Indian people, they looked in the temple room and they just saw an old man who is eating cold rice and cold sabji and dry chapatis. Little do they know which plans Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has for this old man." Little do they know that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very glorious plans for this old man to fulfill. So it's really amazing that Prabhupada at that time when he was totally completely, was no, materially speaking, there was no indication that he would do something significant. But at the same time, he was completely, totally confident that the victory will be there. Why? Because he was very strictly following this formula which he gives in this Mayarpita manobudhir mamanusmara yudhyacha. You give me your mind and you give me your intelligence. Maya arpita manobudhir. You place your mind in me, you place your intelligence in me, mamanusmara, and in this way you remember about me all the time and you fight. Yudhyacha. And then, you know, without considering the failure or success, and then the success and victory will be there at the end of the day. There is no doubt about it. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Okay, I guess that's it.